Ding, ding.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
And that's the bottom line.
Check it out.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
They have no other. They have no equal.
And all American, they're going to sit.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
That's right. We're coming to you live from the corner of 6th and Market. Beautiful downtown, overcast Canton, Ohio. 44 degrees. Might as well be December, Kenny.
Feels like December.
Telling you.
Right? I woke up today, took Frankie out, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to put some socks on and a hoodie because I was cold taking him out to do his business this morning. So, hey, every day is different in Ohio until about what? Say end of June, you feel pretty good about the weather being warm for a while.
Or what do they say? April showers bring May flowers unless you live in Stark County and then it rains the whole time.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
And it's freezing cold. And
April,
there's a frost
May,
warning.
June, July, take your pick.
Frost warnings.
That's right.
That's like I said the other day, the maintenance people told me, said, is your apartment okay? I'm like, why? And we got a warning with our system. It was 53 degrees inside. I said, yeah, we're saving money on gas.
Right. Meanwhile, the only place in the world that the air conditioner breaks on the day that you don't need it is here at 1480 WHBC.
Feels fine in the studio right now.
It's a little bit warm for my taste.
For you. Hey, you know who else is warm?
What?
They're not just warm.
Oh,
they're
hot.
That's
right.
There you go. Hottest team in Major League Baseball. They are off to the greatest start in franchise history. At 17-6, tying the team from 1999, the red-hot Cleveland Guardians.
We fear no one. They look in the face of the Boston Red Sox and say, we never even heard of you before. These guys are so young, they don't care.
Right.
They don't know that they're supposed to lose to teams like that. They've only lost one series, and even then, they should have taken 2 out of 3 from the Yankees.
Yeah, and the good thing is, they're playing... Think about this. They played the A's. They're done with them. The A's stink right now against the Guardians. They went 6-1. They're playing the Red Sox. They could be done with them after, I think, this series, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they stink right now based on injuries. So you're getting them at the right time, and you're cashing in. Wow. And last night, Ben Lively looked like Corey Kluber last night.
Look, whether or not they've got injuries or not, the fact remains you went up against one of the toughest pitchers in the American League last night, and you scored on him. You beat him. And you end up winning 4-1.
There you go. Low-scoring game. Weather was a factor. And the Gardos made it 5 in a row, 17-6 to start the season best ever. And right now, they've got a ton of confidence with Stephen Kwan as your leadoff guy. Jose did something yesterday that, well, Jose is supposed to do. He did this.
You know, bro. Hard run pitch.
Swung on, hit pretty well to right. Back goes Ref Snyder. Track, wall, gone! Jose Ramirez took a 97-mile-an-hour fastball on the outside corner and shot it the other way to right.
Did you see Cora, manager of the Red Sox? He said basically that the pitch was high and outside.
Yeah.
And he said sometimes you just tip your cap because nobody should be able to hit that ball the way he did.
And this is when you know Jose's starting to heat up. When he starts hitting the other way, instead of trying to pull everything, like if he's batting right-handed, trying to yank everything over the left field fence. If he's batting left-handed, pull it down the line.
Right.
And so when he went the other way, I'm like, okay, you watch. He's going to get on a hot string and raise that batting average up.
See, the difference is this, though. He's been hitting well all the time, but a lot of times these guys have been making some outrageously great defensive plays on him. He had a couple of line drives yesterday that were caught for outs. He did the same in Boston. He was robbed of a home run, and they said that the ball that went down the right field line that was caught by their right fielder would have been extra bases, was probably a better hit ball than the one that should have been a home run. So, I mean, there's been a lot of tough luck outs. The thing is with Jose, he doesn't care. He just, next time up, do the same thing all over again. Let's go.
It's not just getting hits. When guys make loud outs, you know they're starting to swing the bat well. Mm-hmm. Even though they're outs, when you hit a ball on the nose, man, when you square one up and they just make a good play, then you go back to the dugout feeling okay about yourself because you know you did everything you could. You hit it as hard as you could. It just happened to be right at somebody, the atom ball. So Jose, I think, is going to start heating up, and Josh Naylor, Kwan is one of the best leadoff hitters in all of baseball. And then you and I were talking the other day and more today about, you know, if they need to go down on the farm, Kyle Manzardo's hitting over 300 for the AAA squad.
I told you yesterday during the program, I think it's time to almost start thinking about going down to the farm and bring in another defensive-minded center fielder. Did you see the catches that Tyler Freeman made last night?
No, I did not.
Oh, he caught it. I mean, unbelievable. He made two catches where he overran the ball, but he still was able. He's athletic enough to make the catch, to whereas I'm not today shouting that I need a new center fielder, because he's making up for it, like you said yesterday, at the plate. So, I mean, as long as he's not beating you with his glove, I'll take it.
If he gives you two runs on offense but gives up one on defense, that's a plus one the way I look at it anymore. So I'll take the bat over the D.
There was a couple of catches that he made that I'm like, where are you going? Sometimes when the ball leaves the bat, you don't know what direction it's taking. And apparently, in a major league ballpark, it spins the same way it spins when a pitcher throws a breaking pitch. So this ball's breaking away from him. He's on a dead sprint from center field, and then all of a sudden, at the last instant, he, like, dives over to his left.
Okay.
And it was unbelievable. Like, what are you doing, man? You're about ready to give me a heart attack. Don't you know you're supposed to catch that ball in front of you?
He's learning how to play it at the major league level.
Keep it in front of you.
Jason Kipnis style.
That's right. Oh, he looked like Kipnis, too. What did they used to call him? Dirtbag?
Yeah.
You should have seen this kid's uniform at the end of the game.
Oh, is that the guy Andre interviewed after the game? He goes, this is what a baseball player is supposed to look like. I did see that
last night.
Then
they got him with the shaving cream.
Oh, shaving cream pie?
Oh.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Hey, they're feeling good about themselves. Yeah. They're having fun. Steven Vogt continues to push all the right buttons. And, I mean, I didn't expect them to get off to this start, so I'm wrong.
No.
Can they maintain this? We'll see. But still, this is the best start in franchise history, regardless of who they're playing.
This is no different than what we talk about when we talk about gambling and baseball.
Yeah.
If you're going to bet baseball, the one thing you want to look for is the streaks. And you're going to get on that streak. You're going to stay on it until they prove you wrong. So if you're gambling on the Guardians and you want to take them on the money line, because I'm assuming they're a heavy favorite again tonight.
Okay.
Because they seemingly own the Boston Red Sox. And I'm sure at home they are a favorite. But the thing is, the fact remains, in baseball, this is what winning does, man. When you get on a roll like this, you ride that wave.
I did bet on them last night, and if you listened to the Kenny and JT show yesterday, we gave you a tip based on the pitching matchup and the weather. We told you to take the under 8.5. 5 was the run total last night, so you are welcome if you wagered yesterday on the Guardians. And so, like JT said, man, 5 in a row could be 6 in a row. And if you bet on them and they lose tonight, that's okay. Because you've got to ride the streak out, man. Because if you bet on it so far, you've already made money on them regardless of what happens tonight.
Again, I go back to this football mentality where we have to win every game. That's not possible in baseball. 162-game season, you're not going to win every game. And there's going to be games where you should win and you don't. But in a game like this, when you've got this momentum and you've got this young chemistry, it's hard to look at a team and say, hey, you're not going to go out there and try to give it your all on a nightly basis. And that, for whatever reason right now, seems to be the strength of the Cleveland Guardians. They want to play. They want to win every night. You don't see that ever. Look at a team like the Chicago White Sox. Dude, their season is done already. They blew a big lead last night against Kansas City. Have they won only 3 games? Yeah.
That's
the whole
it.
Season?
3 wins. That's
They're
it.
Done.
Yeah. Tonight's line, Guardians are favorite. No, I can't. Let's see. Hold on. Let me, what is it? Yeah, Guardians are -140 tonight. Mm-hmm. All right, so they're the favorite. The over-under tonight is 7.5. It's Carrasco against Criswell. I have no idea who Criswell is.
Griswold?
What?
What? Shouldn't he be lighting up his house?
No good rotten. Yeah.
Crapper's fool, Clark.
Oh, that's all right. That's just snot throwing up a little bit. He'll be okay. He does that all the time.
Carrasco still scares the crap out of me, but he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean he's not one of these young flamethrowers, but he knows how to work it inside, outside, and he knows what to throw at these different hitters. Now, these guys are coming up to the plate from Boston trying to hit every ball out of the park.
Thank
now, there's
you.
Another difference there. And the Guardians, they're going to hit some home runs, but, man, they love getting on the bases and going from, you know, first to third, second to home. I mean, these guys, they don't make mistakes right now. Now, look, there's nothing against Tito. And I'm not saying that they didn't do this last year. But for whatever reason, the mistakes that other teams are making in the field and on the base paths, this young team's not making right now. You look at a team like Boston, and I know they've got the injury bug, but hey, everybody does. We do too, mostly in our pitching staff. But these teams are making errors at an alarming rate because I think, you know, it's kind of like basketball. Everybody falls in love with a three-point shot. Maybe in baseball, everybody's worried about hitting home runs. They forget about the little things in baseball.
Guardians do a nice job of the little things. And even if they run themselves out of an inning, okay? And Bo Naylor's been guilty, I think, twice already this year. Okay,
so Josh Naylor has too.
Okay. But even if they're getting run out of an inning because they're over-aggressive, it still sends a message to their opponent that, hey, you better be ready because we're going to try and take that extra base, and it's going to pay off more than it hurts us. Mm-hmm. So I like the mentality, and they know, look, we're not going to be dead last in home runs this year. We're not going to be in the top 10 either. We're going to be middle of the pack.
Right.
So we're going to hit some home runs, but we need to score in other ways, and that's what they're doing with their base running.
You've got to have experience in all of these sports. We saw it the other night in the Knicks game where Kyle Lowry did not call a timeout, whether or not the ref didn't want to give a timeout to the coach. An experienced veteran that's inbounding the ball should know to call that timeout.
Yeah.
Now, you take it into baseball consideration, and the same thing is true. Yesterday in a game where Ben Lively is your pitcher and a ball comes at him and he's off the mound and he fields it and there's a runner at second and they're getting ready to maybe score another go-ahead run for Boston.
Yep.
He looks at the runner, still had time to do a 360 turnaround and threw the runner out at first for the third out. Situationally, this team is making all the right moves. It has got to be hard on the fly. If a kid like Lowry, and I'm going to call him a kid because we're older than anybody that's still playing any professional sport, isn't wise enough to call the timeout or know situationally what to do in that given situation, these guys are doing it on the baseball field, on a diamond. It's amazing.
Yeah, fun team to listen to, fun team to watch. Yeah. Hammy and Rosie having a ball, calling the games on the radio, just like Tim Alcorn's having a ball with the red-hot Cleveland Cavaliers. How about this, man? The Guardians have won 5 in a row. The Cavaliers have won 2 in a row, and not just 2 in a row, 2 in a row in the playoffs. I mean, they're 2-0 in the play. They have not lost in the playoffs this year. They're 2-0. Mm-hmm. And last night we saw road teams finally break through in Indiana beating Milwaukee in Milwaukee last night. Mm-hmm. First road win by a playoff team in the NBA playoffs this year. And then I stayed up and I watched Dallas do the same in Los Angeles against the Clippers as Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic scored, I think, between the two of them about 60 points.
Yeah.
And Luka was on fire. He didn't shoot great in the first half, but when it mattered, man, he buried a couple of threes. Dude, he jumps about an inch off the floor when he shoots, and he never gets his shot blocked.
It's amazing. They're saying his defense is shut down, too. I started to watch a little bit of the Minnesota-Phoenix game, and it just – it just didn't seem exciting to me, and it seemed as though it was just going to be a blowout, which basically it was. You look at the final score and say, okay, you won by 12, but to me, it was never in question. I was upset that I didn't get to watch because of that stupid NBA TV. And where can I find this thing? Because I've got a smart TV. Now, I'm looking through it. Do I have to have the NBA TV app, or does it go through Hulu or Apple or any of these other things?
It has to go through somebody because I get it on YouTube TV.
YouTube.
Yeah, so YouTube TV has it. But again, I don't get it when the Cavaliers play because they black the game out.
So it wouldn't have been blacked out last night.
No,
right?
I would have. I got all the games. So I saw all three of the games last night.
Okay.
Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal couldn't make a shot. They had wide open looks. They were just missing them. Mm-hmm. And so Minnesota goes up 2-0 in that series.
Okay.
And then the other two road games won. So I watched all three of the games last night.
Okay.
And here's what I came away with. I came away with feeling better. How about this?
Okay.
About the Cavaliers right now, than I had been all regular season long watching some of these teams play in the playoffs.
You know why? Because it's not the same basketball. It's a totally different game.
It is. Even our boss, Larry Gothrop, was in here saying, you know, those guys are getting beat up, mugged, fouls all over the place, and they're not calling it.
I don't get it. I mean, these guys are starting to complain. The players are starting to complain, and we know it's always been a different game in the playoffs, but for whatever reason, it just seems as though there's just more to it this season than ever before. And if you're going to do this, you're going to catch teams that are sleeping or catch a team that's not up for the challenge. It seems as though the Cavaliers have been looking at themselves in the mirror all season long, echoing the thoughts that we had said all off season, in that they're not physical enough. Okay, you're not physical enough in the regular season. Okay, that's fine. You're hot and cold in the regular season. Okay, that's fine. All of a sudden, you got a team trying to mug you on a nightly basis. They've only played them twice now. But on the third game, it's going to be really interesting to see. There's nothing else you're going to learn about the Orlando Magic if you're the Cavaliers. Because on a nightly basis, they might play a back-to-backer during the regular season, but you've never played a team three times in a row. So you know everything about them. They know everything about you. The only change here is that you're on the road. Now, the Cavaliers with a two-game lead, they're going to make that team cower to them because they've beaten them really convincingly the first two games? Or are they going to rise up and give the Cavaliers what for? It's going to be interesting to see how they respond now to the third challenge being a road game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I expect the Cavs to lose one of these two games. It
wouldn't shock me.
Last year, the Cavs won a home game, right? After losing the first home game, they won the second home game, right?
Convincingly, too.
Right, and then they ended up losing the next three games and lost the series 4-1, right? Mm-hmm. So you're already up 2-0. Your head might be a little swelled up, right?
Swollen, bingo.
Right? Thinking, oh, we got this team. They come out and they hit a bunch of threes, jump on you early, but then you come back and steal game four. So I look for them to lose one of these next two games, be it either tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here on WHBC, or Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
All right, let's go back into last season. Let's remember one thing now. The Cavaliers were heavily favored over the Knicks. Okay.
Yep.
Now you lose the first game and then all of a sudden everybody jumps on board and says you're not physical enough. That team took you to the rack. Okay, fine. But when you won game two convincingly, it was a blowout too.
Yeah.
The thing that really I think got the Cavaliers was that first road game in New York City at Madison Square Garden. That's when the lights were too bright. Then next thing you know, you're down 2-1. It's over. I don't think that's the same thing. So if you consider the fact that all we want to talk about is the fact that this team got out-physicaled last year, maybe it was a little bit more. Maybe it was just the fact that this team was young, inexperienced. Now they've got the experience. Now they know what it takes to face a team more than two times in a row, three times, four times, five times. Let's see if they can close out this series.
Yeah, I picked them. I said it would go no more than six, okay? I figured they'd slip up one of the two there, maybe another game, but they'd win it in no more than six games, hopefully five. All right. And I still, after watching the first two games, winning by double digits, both games, and they won by double digits.
Big
and
leads.
Yet they turned it over 16 times on average. They've shot 29% from beyond the arc and 70% from the free throw line, and yet they still won both games by double digits.
Sure.
That
yeah.
tells me their defense is back and they're playing well. Plus, it tells me, as was the case all season long, Orlando's not a good outside shooting team.
Right.
So if you can force them to jack up threes and they think that's the only way they can get back in games, then that plays right into the Cavaliers' hands.
That's pretty much the only constant.
Right.
We knew that team didn't shoot well in the regular season.
Right.
And that travels into the playoffs. Cavaliers, on the other hand, they dialed it up a little bit. We wondered whether or not there was a switch they could hit. Maybe they did. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if they lost a game on the road as well, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they didn't sweep this team. I do not think Orlando's going to win both home games.
No, you're getting one of these two.
Yeah.
If you don't, then there's a problem, right? If you don't beat them in one out of the two, then all of a sudden you're back to a three-game series and momentum shifts back to the Orlando Magic. And the old saying in the NBA playoffs is what? A series doesn't really start till a road team wins a game. Well, guess what then? This series hasn't started yet, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the Cavaliers held serve. And if they can go in and win game three or four, then the series technically will have started. And the key is split in Orlando, worst case scenario, and then you have a chance to close it out at home in game five.
It may not start till a road team wins one on the road. But the pressure has got to be enormous when you come back and you're down 2-0.
Oh, absolutely. This is a do-or-die game.
Yep.
It's a must-win game for the Orlando Magic. I don't know what the percentage is of teams falling down 0-3 in a series. We know the Cavs were the first, to go down 3-1 in the NBA Finals and come back and win it, okay? I don't know what the mark is for at any level of the playoffs being down 0-3 and coming back and winning. I remember the Penguins in hockey led the New York Islanders 1 year, 3-0, and New York came back and won 4 straight.
Right.
That's in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know what it is in the NBA playoffs.
Well, Indians led 3-1 against the Cubs. Could you imagine that? If you would have won the World Series and the finals in the same year, that town would have went crazy.
All right. Which would you have preferred? A Cavaliers championship that year or an Indians championship that year?
I'm still living off the 94-95 teams.
Yeah, well.
You know, and that team that just made the World Series, because in my lifetime I never thought I'd see it. For the Cavaliers to win with LeBron James, I'm not going to say it's as big as a Browns Super Bowl appearance.
Right.
No, I will say that.
Okay.
It's as big as a Browns Super Bowl appearance, not as big as a Super Bowl victory for the Browns.
Okay. We all agree that if the Browns win a Super Bowl, that's going to trump anything, right?
No question.
Because it's a football town.
But
first.
LeBron James is larger than life. Mm-hmm. And LeBron James, as big as the NFL is, LeBron James is as big as the NFL.
Individually, yes.
He is.
For what he's accomplished, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I, and you know me, I'm a basketball guy. So I'll take the Cavs championship over a World Series championship. But how sweet would it have been that year? Because it would have gone down in Cleveland sports history as one of the greatest years ever, because UFC is a big deal, right? Stipe Miocic was heavyweight champ. He won the belt that year.
Mm-hmm.
The Monsters won the AHL Calder Cup. The Cavs won the NBA championship, and the Guardians, or the Indians at the time, almost won the World Series.
Now, the local story with LeBron being from Northeast Ohio trumps everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that trumps the NFL. I'm sorry, it just does, in my opinion anyway, because this was a fact of, with everything that was involved, and it wasn't LeBron James just being here, and it's still hard for me to believe that he's been a member of the Lakers as long as he has now, because it just seems so fresh in our minds that they won in 2016. But when he came back and all that hoopla that surrounded I'm coming home, and the parties they had in Akron, the thing they had in Cleveland, and the receptions, and all the buzz, for them to win that championship, to me, I don't think that takes a backseat to anything.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's a championship. First one since 1964 in any sport. You're happy you got it. Yeah, you're greedy thinking, damn, we should have had at least 2 major sports championships, a minor league championship, and the heavyweight championship in MMA. So it was still a great year. Great memories from that, unfortunately, that World Series, but it ended the wrong way because of Betsy Kling, allegedly. we still reflect back on Rajay Davis's home run to tie it in the ninth.
Think about that for a second. They played an entire game last night with as much rain as she called the postponement or the delay in Game 7.
Don't get me started. I heard Andre's interview with him, and he's like, it's a little wet out there tonight, huh? Yeah, well, you know,
soaked.
Wet for both teams. It's going to be chilly and maybe a little damp down there tonight. By the way, I just placed a bet on tonight's game. Yeah, I went Guardian. I took your advice. Mm-hmm. Guardians riding out the streak on the money line. And I adjusted the over-under line under 9.5 tonight. So
there's no quit in this team. This team gets they fall behind late last night.
Yeah.
And then, okay, that's all. It's going to be all. Years ago, that used to be all it took. Corey Kluber gives up one hit, it's a home run, they lose.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Last night, same thing. You never heard of this Ben Lively. He's a journeyman pitcher for the most part. He was phenomenal going against, like I said, one of the better pitchers in the American League.
This year?
That dude's ERA was 1.35, I think.
It was.
And it was unbelievable. He almost threw a no-hitter against us. He threw a complete game in Boston against us.
In an hour and 49 minutes.
And he... through, literally, he went 15 innings against the Guardians without giving up a run.
Yeah.
If you consider the start of last night's game. That team broke through, and they just never stop.
Yeah, so kudos to Stephen. Brian, how do you pronounce it? Vogt?
Vogt.
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 Vogt. I saw something I thought of you, Brian, yesterday. I was on Instagram, and there was a clip of Steve Martin in some movie where he's speaking French. And he's like, I want to hire the best accent coach in the world to speak good English. And then you see him with this coach, and she's like, all right, say hamburger. And he goes, hamburger.
Sure, he wasn't saying they're shooting at these oil cans.
Let me hear the music in it.
Hamburger. Hamburger. Yeah. Hamburger. Hamburger. Stephen Bagaga. Dot. All right, we'll get a break in right now. We'll come back with more of the Kenny and JT Show on WHBC.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.